Good morning, everyone. Hope everybody's doing okay today. It is a blessing to be here and also an awesome responsibility and privilege to come and to speak to you in Pastor Jeff's absence today. Today we will be continuing in our series entitled Acts to the Ends of the Earth. We will be picking up where Pastor Jeff left off last week, and our message today, we've entitled it a little bit different from what he had last week. Last week he spoke of for the gospel, everything that was being done for the gospel's sake. Today our message is entitled God's Gospel Plan Continues, because it is his plan. So just to recap a bit, we've been looking at God working in and through the early church, and him doing the work to spread the gospel through the church. We've seen lives transformed, souls saved, churches established, all by God working in and through the lives of the early Christians who have been scattered throughout the known world because of persecution from the enemies of Jesus. We've seen the Holy Spirit work through the apostles and the members of the church to perform miracles of healing, casting out demons, as well as empowering members to endure hardships that they had to go through. We've even seen miraculous escapes on the part of the people of God from seemingly impossible situations, prison, wherever it may be. Now, last week, Pastor Jeff preached on the beginning of Paul's second missionary journey. And as God continues his mission, spreading the gospel through Paul, what we learned from that message last week were four things that were absolutely necessary for the successful spreading of the gospel. We learned that gospel partnerships are paramount. They must be in place for this to happen. We also learned that understanding that God always remains in control is a thing that we need to keep in the back of our mind. God never lets go of this and turns it over to us. It's always God in control. We also saw that there has to be a removing of barriers to the gospel, but this must happen without changing the gospel message to please the audience we're talking to, or sinning, as the example of the passage Jeff gave last week. And then finally, trusting in the Lord to guide us as we live on mission for him. Now today, we will see God working his gospel mission through the early church, and hopefully see how God's mission continues even through the church today, through our lives. Today, we're hoping to see the results of when the people of God meet God on his mission. We, the church, jumping in and saying, God, we're ready to be a part of what you're doing in your mission field. So with that said, let's jump into our lesson today. Please turn in your Bible to our text today. Acts 16, we'll be covering verses 11 through 40, picking up where Pastor Jeff left off. Also, there's Bibles on the back table. If anyone needs a Bible, please feel free to grab it, hang on to it, and keep it there for you. Now, as you find your places in Acts, just a little background. Paul, along with his new companions, or as Pastor Jeff alluded to, the dream team, were going out. They were basically set out on this mission for the second missionary journey. This team consists of, again, Silas. He had Timothy join him on there, and we know Luke is also on this team because of the way it's narrated by Luke in the book of Acts. Now, they're all about to start a journey ordained by God, and this will lead them to an area of the world yet to be touched by the gospel. I guess you can say an unchurched area, and I thank God for just the words that Justin gave this morning, because they fall perfectly in line with the message today concerning those who are starting a church out in the Pima Mine area. Now, this mission, as we learned last week, is ordained by the Holy Spirit, because he used a vision of some sort, or whatever other things he put on Paul's mind leading him. And we're not told exactly what those things are, to convince Paul and this group that they must go to this area that we're looking at today. So they're basically going out on a church planning trip, because we know, and we learned last week, that this was affirmed by the church council in Jerusalem. Now, we know God's hand of ordination is in this, because this was not Paul's first location where to go. Paul's first location was to go to Asia. He had his mind set on going to Asia and continuing the spreading there. But he was told in some way, no, not to go there. Then he changed and said, okay, let's go further northeast. Let's go to a place called Bithynia. But also, for some reason, he was told by the Holy Spirit and not allowed to go to that location. In other words, God said, no, those are not the places I want you to go. So the journey, the day that we're looking at, will not be a straightforward journey, but it will be one that they will actually have to cover some quite a bit of ground here. They could be covering some territory over the sea or by land. But Paul and his team are like, okay, we're ready for the task, Lord, because this is where you're sending us. So obediently trusting in God, Paul and his company head out on their journey. And this leads us to our text for today. Now, due to the large text that we have, instead of our normal standing and reading through the text, we're going to cover each part of the text as we go through it, as it pertains to the part that we're talking about. But what we will do at this point here is pray. So please just join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to once again stand here and speak your word, to be used by you. I pray that you work in and through me to speak your word to your people. I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice, either here in person or online, Father, are touched by your word today in the way you specifically planned for it to be, that your word would not return unto you void, but would accomplish that which you have purposed it for. And I give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, church, today we're going to see four truths about how God was and is still working his gospel mission through the church here. And the first truth is that, and it should be on the slide for us today, God ordains the plan and the church responds. It's not vice versa. God ordains the plan, the church responds. Look at the verse from last week in Acts 16:9. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So right from the get-go, this is something where Paul was looking to go another way, but the Holy Spirit, through this vision, dream, wherever it may have been, the scripture says it was a vision of Paul. A man from Macedonia said, no, come over to Macedonia. Come over to a place that you guys have not been yet, to Europe, and help us. For those of you who are new here, we're kind of, at Authentic Life Church, we're familiar with this kind of obedience because our history here is with our pastor, Jeff, and his wife, along with some family members. After faithfully serving in the Kansas City, Missouri area, they faithfully answered God's call to come to Tucson because they felt they were directed by God too. I'm sure they found this part of the country to be a bit of an adjustment because it didn't have, in one point, it didn't have the strong church influences that they may have had back in their community, which I'm also familiar with coming from the Missouri area. But their faithfulness has resulted in this church now being here and us who are members now being a part of Authentic Life Church. Praise God for that. So you see, just as with Paul and his team, any successful plan only works when those who are called to be a part of the plan respond accordingly with a totally submissive heart, completely bought in and ready to follow Jesus at the direction of the Holy Spirit. So look at the response of these men to this call, this clear call from the Holy Spirit. Verses 11 through 13 of Acts 16. So putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. And we were staying in the city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. There was no hesitation as they set out on this arduous journey that took them to this island where they stayed overnight, and then a port, Neapolis, where they had journeyed to for miles. And then from that point there, they had to journey miles also across land to finally get to their final destination. Why? All because God said, go. Church, we don't always know what God's plan entails in the moment, What we do know is that it will always put us in the right place at the appointed time to be used by him. It was no coincidence that these men ended up going to the riverside there in Philippi on that day where these women happened to be praying. You see, these men understood that as a church, as a body of Christ, our overall mission is to be ambassadors of Christ wherever we go to, and the need to always be ready to witness to the truth of Jesus Christ. Because as they say here, we exist, or as we say here at Authentic Life Church, we exist to connect people to God. They didn't let the fact that they were going to pray at that time, to worship God in their own personal time, interfere with an opportunity to be witnesses of Jesus as the Holy Spirit had commanded them to be before, and as Jesus had commanded us before to go out and be witnesses. They didn't let that personal time that they were going to pray stand in the way of this encounter here. You see, as we go about our day-to-day lives with our families, friends, our loved ones, co-workers, our neighbors, we have the same obligation still today, because that's one of the reasons that we are here as the body of Christ. Look at what Paul writes later in a letter to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, as he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. They took this commitment and this commandment seriously. And we must also, if we're going to be on mission with God here in 2023. Now, perhaps this became more acceptable to them because they understood our second truth today, which is God ordains the circumstances of our lives to fulfill his purpose. Look at how these men surveyed the mission field. They understood the surrounding culture when they got there. They said we had been there for many days. They understood that this was a Roman colony, a small Jewish community there, so there would be no synagogues in this area. Heavy Roman influence, so there'd be a low tolerance for any type of outside religion in this area or religious influence. They found out a familiar place to worship and to seek guidance through prayer, the riverside. But they found out that this was a place that would probably be a gathering place for the Jewish people, since there was no place to go in a synagogue. They were also attentive to the Holy Spirit, helping them see where God was working in that area. This shows the need for seeking God and leading us today in our community to see those who need him here in our community. Now look at how beautifully God uses the circumstance of these men meeting in this place a prayer with these women. Verses 14 through 15. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. What they didn't do, church, was say, okay, let's map out an action plan for reaching the people here in our community before seeking God, and then see if God would endorse their plan. God is working in our community right here today, and we need him to show us where he's working at. Only God could orchestrate this type of meeting of this woman, Lydia, who was a successful businesswoman, a believer and worshiper of God, a Hellenistic Jew, or a convert to Judaism, from 20 miles away in Thyatira, with Paul and his team, to be in the right place, the right time, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God can make our paths cross with those who we need to speak to, who we need to witness to and give the gospel to. We never know who God is connecting us with, so we have to always be prepared for that. Church, we didn't pick Tucson, Arizona, and then say, God, we have the perfect place for you to place a church. But instead, God knew that this city was unchurched and heard the cries of the lost and the broken around us and wants us to see those same people in our maybe extended families around us, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, our schools, who are in need of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he gives us a chance to do that. Now, some of you here today, sitting on the sound of my voice, either online or in the church here, may be some of those people. And I want you to know that God heard and responded to your cries. Please know that God sees you and hears you today. And that's why he sent Authentic Life Church and other churches to this area, to connect you to the one who has already completed all the work for you to be saved from your sins. You don't need to try any longer to save yourself, which others may have told you in the past you had to do. But all that Jesus requires of you is that you confess your sins and that you confess that you are broken, that you are hopeless in your sins, that you need a Savior, and that he is that Savior, and let him come in and have a personal relationship with you today. He is waiting for you to make that move. Church, we are so blessed to have an opportunity to be a part of this life-transforming work of God, which results in the hope, joy, peace, and freedom that we see happen to Lydia and her household, and that I've actually witnessed in my life, and I hope you have as well, and witnessing the people and seeing their lives transform. We can see this when we witness and we live this kind of life in our own families. We can see it on our jobs. We can see it in our communities. We can see it in our schools. Wherever we live, play, and work, God is at work, and that's why he sent us with that desire. Now, God doesn't really need us to complete his mission. I hope you understand that. He could have used the Holy Spirit to speak to Lydia and enlighten her and bring her to a point of salvation that moment. But I'm so glad that he planned it this way here so that we, the body of Christ, would be a part of this. Look at what Paul writes later to the church in Rome in Romans 10, 14 through 15. How will they then call on him who in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. That's us, church. He's not just talking about those who stand up here and preach the word of God. He's talking about the body of Christ, and the preaching is a testimony and the witness we have to the world. We have an awesome opportunity given by God to reach someone with this message of spiritual life and death, and it's the most important question that they will ever answer in their lives. More important than what you plan on doing with your life, where you plan on going to school, who you marry, things like this, which are important questions, but this is the most important question a man or woman will answer in their lives. Now, we also have to understand that we as ambassadors of Christ are not only here to reconcile everyone we connect with, God through Christ, but we're also here as salt and light to bless those who God puts in our circle of influence. And what this basically means is, and please don't miss this, God uses us to just sometimes make the place where we live, play, and work better by loving on those who we connect with, coming alongside those in our community who are attempting to suppress evil, and just being there and working with them as a body of Christ, nothing more. Church, we see this with our partnerships here at Authentic Life Church, with agencies that we work with that are fighting for the poor, broken, defenseless people in our community that God has placed around us. Sometimes if we get too caught up in what we're doing in our day-to-day business of life, we'll miss this. But sometimes God lets their situation collide with our path on purpose. Look at verses 16 through 18. It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl, having a spirit of divination, met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune-telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bond servants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." She continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very moment. Paul was annoyed, and the Greek origin, the word that was used here, means that he was offended, annoyed, and upset by this. And we ask, it says, why? Well, it was due to the fact that Paul knew that the enemy was attempting to ridicule. The enemy was attempting to take away from the true message of what they were doing and making light of it. But at the same time, I truly believe Paul understood the annoyance because of the effects of sin on this poor girl's life. A life of manipulation at the hands of the enemy and those who were taking advantage of her. Now, we don't know if this girl was saved by this experience, as other examples in Scripture show, those demonic spirits were taken out of and they followed Jesus Christ. We don't know in this situation here. But one thing we do know, her life was radically changed. Church, I don't know about you, but we'd have to have blinders on to not be affected by the irritating effects of sin on our culture. It grieves my heart daily to see those around us who are victims of the effects of sin and realize that we may not be able to lead everyone to salvation, but we also can't just walk away from hurting situations when God is pressing on our hearts to act. When God is saying that we can have the power to make a difference through him. Sin should grieve our hearts daily. Like Peter mentioned about Lot and the situation he went through in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, in Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says that, and Lot was oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard as a righteous man while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Sin should grieve us, and it should not just grieve us personally when it's in our families or affects our families, but when it's in our neighborhoods, our schools, our workplaces, etc. And our life should be a witness of Jesus Christ and make the places that we live, play, and work better, as well as exposing the darkness around us by the light of our testimony. Now, I must tell you, church, this type of attitude will definitely put us on the enemy's radar, and it brings us to our next truth. God's mission does not promise a safe and happy life. God's mission does not promise a safe and happy life. Look at verses 19 through 24. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans." The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrate tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, church, let's stop for a moment of transparency here, because I know I'm not the only one who sometimes in my flesh says, "Lord, why is it when things are going smoothly in my life or with the church, something bad or challenging has a rear its ugly head? Maybe a health issue, a controversy, or just some type of persecution, or just plain old drama that comes up." But then I remember, we're not promised that if we're obedient and respond to God's mission, that life will be carefree, happy, healthy. But just the opposite is true in the scripture in some situations. But what we've been seeing and by what we've been told, and what we've witnessed in the lives of the early church. Look at Paul's resume on suffering in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 to 28. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is a daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Church, I don't know about you, but this always brings me back as a reality check. I love how Paul's testimony covers a comprehensive view of difficulties that he dealt with as a follower of Christ. Why? Because we need to understand when we go through struggles today that it's not weird or a sign that God is upset with us. Persecution, betrayals, illnesses, anxiety over money, over safety and security for ourselves or our loved ones, etc. You fill in the blank. Why? Because Jesus promises that he is with us until the end of this age. And look what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. We go through these things and we handle them in a supernatural way because we trust in the one who promised us that he would bring us through. It's not the situation. We're not rejoicing over the situation. We're rejoicing with the one who promised to bring us through. And Paul also reminds us in Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Our beliefs in these moments stem from the trust of the one who made the promise, and that promise we know is sure. Let that resonate for a minute, that our belief stems not from the situation or our own ability, but the trust in the one who promised. So why is how we respond in these times of hardship so very important? Well, we saw one reason there. Paul said because of the one we trust in that we need to remain faithful. But look at the next few verses in the text, verses 25 through 30. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we're all here." And he called for lights, rushed in. Trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he had brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Church, first of all, look at how these men responded in this horrible situation. They're in the prison already, beaten, bloodied, in stocks, which were meant as another form of torture for them while they're in the jail to punish them. But they respond first with prayer. This seems to have been the church's default action in all things with our early church, and that was to go to God in prayer. The God who created all things, the God who cannot fail, the all-powerful God who shakes prison walls, who makes giant situations fall. When we speak to our fears, we preach to our doubts. Now, that actually sounds familiar. Right. Sounds like maybe a song we sang it. And we need to adopt this attitude as well when our tests and our trials of life come upon us. Because believe me, if you haven't been through one of these life-shaking situations, you will. Also, don't miss what they do next. They praise God in the midst of the mess, not after it's over. Churches, like so many other examples with the early church, we too must learn that God deserves the praise of his people, not just when the bills are paid or when we are sickness-free and everything is going great in our lives, but especially during the valley seasons. Why is this important? Because the culture is watching how we respond in these times. And this is also a powerful testimony to one another of the faithfulness of God. And there's other benefits to the suffering as well, just as Paul states in Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt, or be joyful, that is, in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt or are joyful in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God even uses our suffering to build up and advance his church. Paul is basically saying we have joy in and through our suffering moments of life. Why? Because of the great joy we have found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's saying there's nothing the enemy, the culture, or this life can throw at us that can take away that joy that we found in knowing the love that we have obtained in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of that, church, there's even purpose in the pain. Now, that's not one of my truths today, but that's okay. You can use that. As Pastor Jeff said, that's a freebie today, right? But seriously, church, your testimony during these times of hardship speaks volumes to the world around us and actually gives us an opportunity to share the gospel message to those who God has placed in our lives. Look at verses 30 through 34. After he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into his house, set food before them, and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. Church, our final truth is this. God can fulfill his purpose through the testimony of a faithful church. God can fulfill his purpose through the testimony of a faithful church. Our testimony is more powerful than you think and can sow seeds that God uses to bring unbelievers to salvation. Some of the most powerful testimonies will come from your most painful experiences and have lasting impacts now and in the future. Look at verses 35 through 40. Now when day came, the chief magistrates sent their policemen saying, "Release those men." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The chief magistrates have sent to release you. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us in public without trial, men who are Romans, and have thrown us into the prison. And now they are sending us away secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and bring us out." The police reported these words to the chief magistrates. They were afraid when they heard that they were Romans, and they came and appealed to them. And when they had brought them out, they kept begging them to leave the city. They went out of the prison and into the house of Lydia, and when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Now, we've probably looked at these verses in the past and either glossed over them or left with the impression that Paul was getting his own back here a little bit at the magistrates. But if you really look at this text, you will see how God misses no opportunity. What God inspires Paul to do, I believe, in this situation was a right or wrong that was done to these men, to the church, and to the gospel message. He knew that the enemy was trying to actually cast dispersions on the church and the message of the gospel through the situation. Church, our testimony holds great value in how it affects the community we work, live, and play and go to school in. It can leave a positive or a negative effect on the advancing of the gospel today and tomorrow. So we must show our community that we are, as Pastor Jeff has to say, we're not just in the community, we're for the community. And we are definitely not the enemy. In closing today, church, let's remember the truths that we've learned from today's passage. God ordains the plan, and the church responds. God ordains the circumstances of our lives to fulfill his purpose. God's mission does not promise a safe and happy life. I am so sorry if someone told you that when you accepted Christ. God can fulfill his purpose through the testimony of a faithful church. Church, I believe God heard the cries of those here in Tucson, Arizona, and sent out his people to answer his call, of whom I think Pastor Jeff and his family and those who came with him were a start. And now all of us who are here at Authentic Life Church, he's placed here for this mission. Now we get the chance to respond to God by praying that he allows us to see where he's already at work around us and joining him on mission. Now, if you're sitting on the sound of my voice here today and you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus, please know that he hears your cry. And he understands that you are in need of a Savior. Again, a Savior who doesn't require you to work it out on your own, but a Savior who sees you, hears you, and is coming to meet you. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30 speaks to this, and I paraphrase on this here. Come to him if you're weary and tired of this life's pressures and demands, and find that he and only he can and will give you the rest that you long for. And believe me, it would be so much more better than what this world has promised you. Will you give him a chance today to show that he loves you, that the reason that we are here in other churches is because God loves you and his arms are open wide to you? Let us pray.